Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
It is the 125th edition. The Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also in Five Points. Chris Brame from the Home Team, David Johnston from the Morning Show. You stir that up and you get the Crossover Podcast. We will be breaking down the small hands of Jake Fromm on today's edition of the Crossover
Yes,
Podcast.
Yes, we will.
No. As we record this, though, it is exciting. It's a Thursday, which is when we normally do it. Not always, but for the most part on Thursdays. Exactly 3 weeks from today, the NCAA tournament will begin. So it's hard to believe, but that is not that long at all. The regular season winding down, and we'll have brackets and tourney action 3 weeks from today. So fired up about that.
Can I test your NCAA basketball knowledge?
Sure.
Name who you think's going to be the National Player of the Year. We tried to do this morning, and we did not do very well. In fact, we failed horribly.
The National Player, well, it's not going to be Anthony Edwards, who every time I watch Georgia play, he does get called the top freshman in the country.
Yeah.
Is it the kid from Iowa? Garza?
I don't know.
Because Iowa's got a guy, but Iowa's only sort of average.
Well, all we could come up with, and we had to get a little help, Cassius Winston at Michigan State.
Okay.
Obi Toppin at Dayton.
Obi Toppin, yeah.
And honestly, there's like, basically the point is, there's not a name player out there.
No, I think Kansas is the best team, and they don't really have like a guy.
The only thing I know about Kansas is they had a guy get suspended for the rest of the year.
Yeah, because they brawled with K-State.
Because they brawled with their rivals.
They're about to play again, I think. Aren't they?
Yeah,
I think maybe so. That might be this weekend.
But in the SEC, I mean, I don't know. Last year, it was all about Zion.
Yeah, he was
an
easy
one. Zion. But college basketball, I guess because of the one and done and the fact that the best players don't stay in college very long, it's about the coaches. The coaches are the names in college basketball. It's not the players.
And
so when we're all filling out our brackets, we're going to be placing teams through the brackets that we've never seen and don't know any of their players, and we'll be doing it again. We'll be frustrated if we don't do well, even though we don't know any of the players.
Well, that's what I've thought about Baylor. Baylor's a great team, having a great year. Yeah, I couldn't name a player right now, but I know Scott.
No, they're good.
Scott Drew's one of those coaches, like a lot of coaches, that the really good ones, eventually their time comes.
Right.
And his could be this year. There's another thing. If you go and you start looking back and digging through recent national champs, those two UConn teams in 11 and 14 are constantly the outliers there. But like every coach that has won the national title, other than I guess most recently, because it was Kevin Ollie. I guess Calhoun was actually still there in 11, but that 14 UConn team is
the one that won the tournament with five straight wins.
Yeah, but they're the ones that kind of like really break some things up. But like every coach has at least been to the Sweet 16 if they're winning a national title.
Right.
So, you know, for some of these teams this year, like I guess Anthony Grant, unless he went to one at Bama.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, so if you're kind of liking Dayton, Anthony.
All right, so you're saying the team that's going to win it is going to have a coach that's previously taken a team to the Sweet 16.
At least to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Like the one exception is Kevin Ollie and that UConn.
And when
team.
I was saying that was the five straight wins in the Big East tournament, is that what it was then?
They were still the Big East,
yeah.
And they had, that was, I guess, the
That was Shabazz Napier was the guy they had then who just got hot at the right time of year.
So when someone says, hey, well, UConn did it. Hey, the Dogs in the tornado year, they got to the tournament. That just doesn't mean anything. That's not very likely to happen for other teams.
Although Tom Crean's been to the Sweet 16.
Yes, he has. So all he needs to do is win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, and get in there, and he's had a couple Sweet 16s and even a Final Four.
He had Dwayne Wade, then he had Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
Now he's got the Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Who is compared to Oladipo.
I like the game as we're recording this last night at South Carolina. Edwards' last two games, he has attempted a total of 21 two-point field goals. And it was another just crushing loss for Georgia in overtime at South Carolina. But I liked finally seeing him. He got to the free throw line a lot. He was attacking the rim. I know he had that stretch where they said he was battling the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that one game at Texas A&M where he ended up only scoring 6 points, although he did play like 28 minutes. He didn't attempt a single two-point shot in that game.
Yeah.
And it was 6 or 7 three-point shots. But finally, these last two games, like Edwards is, he's not just back there hitting, like attempting fadeaway threes. He's taken 21 now two-point field goal attempts in the last two games. Like it's too little too late now, but like finally, he's doing that.
And last night, he played the whole game. He was terrific. I even thought there was that drive to the basket where he switched over and made that left-handed layup. He got fouled on that, but they didn't call it.
Yeah.
And you can see now why you look at these mock drafts, and it's either Wiseman or Edwards that are all, they're all saying it's one of those two guys that'll be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing it. It's not the Anthony Edwards that's 1 for 7 shooting the three, and those are all 7 of his shots in a game. And it's the Edwards we saw last night.
Yeah, and they're just like these pull up, really like long distance.
I guess
maybe they're NBA range threes.
Yeah.
And even,
I wish he had gotten the ball in the last second there just to see what would have happened last night.
Yeah. On the play, the charge, the Wheeler.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was tough because he caught the ball at half court.
I know.
And Frank Martin was ready to lose it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, whoa.
Cozart saved him by taking a good charge there.
Absolutely.
But that was a bad defensive effort.
Exactly. It was. And the Dogs had a chance. And just like football, couldn't beat the Gamecocks in overtime.
That's 8 straight losses to them in
hoops. Isn't that crazy? That is crazy. Now, the rest of the way, Arkansas coming up this weekend, and then Florida and LSU.
Yeah, and Arkansas, like South Carolina, is going to be a team that's desperate, fighting for their tournament life. They blew out Tennessee the other night, and they've got they've got Georgia, and then I believe they host LSU and maybe close with A&M. So Arkansas is definitely looking at, they've got 3 very winnable games with a chance to fight back to right around 500 in league play and put themselves on the bubble there at least.
Yeah. It's not looking so good for the SEC right now. I think they're going to get 4 and maybe 5 teams, I would think. I think Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, and Florida are in, and then maybe one other team, but that's going to be it.
State, South Carolina would be the next two top contenders.
Right. Right.
Now, Arkansas is that funky team where their RPI is better than a bunch of teams ahead of them in the SEC standing. So, I don't know, if they were able to get to 9-9
in the
league,
they'd
have 21
wins. They got
to
win their last 3 games just to be 500 in the league.
Yeah.
In a league that's not as good as it has been.
Right. I mean, it is doable. They come here, and it's LSU at home and then Texas A&M on the road. So, they'll be favored in all 3 of those games.
So, they'll be favored here on Saturday?
Yeah, I think so. It'll be
pretty close.
It'll be close, but
what did last night close? 5.5?
5.5.
It didn't change.
Easy cover.
Everybody on both sides sweating that thing when it went to overtime.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you were
on Georgia, you didn't want overtime.
If you're South Carolina, you were glad to get
it. You needed it.
But it didn't help you anyway.
Then at one point they did get it, they stretched it to 5.
Yeah.
And Georgia, but then I guess they had Georgia scored and then South Carolina turned it over on that inbounds.
Right.
And
The one where he was standing on the in line.
Yeah.
And then that's when Frank Martin began his his idiocy. He's one of those guys, like when I see him in interviews, when you see him just kind of in a non-game situation, he seems like he seems like an okay guy. He seems like a good guy. And then when the ball gets tipped off, he turns into a maniacal coach.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. just cussing those guys out.
Yeah.
Right there on the court. And, you know.
Yeah, time out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the guy's got the Final Four there. I mean, they're really good, but I don't know what he thinks. Like, you know, this kid took a three-pointer he didn't want to take. I don't know that cussing him out is going to make him any less likely to do that next time.
I don't get it. But I mean, used to see that with Bobby Knight, and it was celebrated. Then after a while, you realize, this isn't something to be celebrated.
No,
this is terrible.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
And it was several years ago, but I'll never forget. They were playing Oklahoma State, and they were winning by like 20. They were blowing them out.
You're talking about
South Carolina. And Frank Martin.
Yeah.
So they're blowing this team out. They're about 4 minutes left in the game. I don't remember exactly what happened, but he called a timeout and spent the entire timeout cussing this kid out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody's watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they just had the camera right on him.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what is going on here?
Yeah. This is uncomfortable.
Because they were winning by like 20. The game was basically over, but I guess he saw a teachable moment. That's what I've, that Netflix series, Last Chance U. And I'm sure somebody's listening and considering this the wussification of America. But the thing that, like, one thing I've taken from that interests me is, and I don't know if it's done intentionally or not, but it's definitely, it's something I've noticed about it. But when you watch those players, the parts where they're in a classroom and their professors are teaching them or the guidance counselor's talking to them and the way they talk to the players versus the way football coaches talk to them, and it's like, I don't know why football coaches feel the need, like that's how they have to get their point across, is these teaching moments. Because like, what if like the professors decided, because there was like this one kid in the last season who was, you know, had to write this essay. And, you know, the teacher gets the essay back and there's all these mistakes on it. It's like, well, we went over that or whatever. But like, what if she just started going, you stupid bleeping moron. Why did you put that comma there?
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's fascinating to me that like, that's how football coaches, they feel the need to teach and get points across.
There is a term for like actions are different in different environments or different workplaces. I don't know what the term is. Now we're getting into sociology and psychology and all that stuff. And I'm not saying what you're saying is right or wrong. I'm just saying, for whatever reason, different environments have different mentalities. And, you know, it's just how it is. Like, was it Izzo last year where he, you know, it was that moment where did he actually physically touch the guy?
Yeah.
Where he kind of jacked
him. It was in the tournament last year.
Yeah, in the tournament.
Yeah.
He kind of jacked. There was another one where Jeremy Pruitt did it to, was it Garantano?
Yeah. Changed the play against Bama.
Yeah, his face mask. Although that was a bad play for Tennessee.
It was.
But I guess, and I'm not saying, it seems like sometimes when they're grabbing them and they touch them, obviously that looks bad, and that's probably taken a little too far. But there is that term, and I don't know what it is for. Just things are different. You teach things differently in different environments. And on the athletic field, it's different than it is in a classroom. In, you know, on the battlefield, it's different than it is, you know, if you're talking to your guidance counselor.
I think when it comes to, like, these sports and these coaches, it's kind of like the attitude is like, well, that's how it's always been.
Yeah.
Coaches yelled at me and they cussed me out and they physically abused me, and so it makes it right. But it's like, well, it was never right when it happened then.
Right.
And it's not right now. So, you know, you evolve, hopefully. And some coaches have, but others haven't. But I mean, imagine, like, if these players, when they're in class, if, like, their professors would never be allowed to cuss them out if they made mistakes on paper. So I don't know why it's, like, it is sort of deemed acceptable when it comes to to coaches doing it. But no, when you look back now on Bobby Knight, I mean, just about everyone realizes the guy was a tyrant and, yeah. I mean, honestly shouldn't be celebrated in any way, even though I think Indiana did have him back.
This year was the 20th anniversary of him finally coming back.
Was it?
Yeah. I saw that. I didn't watch it.
I didn't either, because the guy to me is like I mean, no one should respect that.
Guy. He was an interesting dude to say the least.
Yeah, but anyway,
Frank Martin has, not saying he's Bobby Knight, but he's got his moments where you just look at him and go, "Man, what is up with?"
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like that. That was just like that's despicable behavior.
Yeah,
but maybe I'm just a wuss.
The wussification of society.
But I'm just, again, if when those players are in class now today, I mean, if one of their professors, like, if that's how, if they berated them like that publicly because they didn't put a comma in the right place.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're looking at there. Like, those guys are, it's, you know, you're in the, you know, the heat of battle there in a game. I mean, they're going to make mistakes. And I'm pretty sure, like, cussing them out in front of a crowd of people.
It's so loud. You know, if you don't yell at them, they won't hear you.
I guess not.
It's the fans. You don't have fans in the classroom, but you have them at the games.
Yeah. But, hey, maybe that's the problem. Tom Crean doesn't cuss his guys out publicly enough.
That's right.
So, George is
maybe
only,
he saves it for after the game.
Yeah, I mean, closed doors.
Yeah,
I
in the locker room. I don't know.
Yeah. But, hey, we're 3 weeks from the tournament. And
so I can start filling out my bracket of teams that I haven't seen play, and I don't know any of their players.
Well, just remember,
I just need to know their coach's background.
Yeah, coach has to have at least, to win it all, has to have at least been to the Sweet 16.
So Ollie hadn't taken UConn. That was his first year?
Yeah, when they I think did it that? Was his first year, yeah. So he was the last one who had not, who had
that
not
is
been.
It's interesting how many coaches have won a title when they hadn't previously been to a Sweet 16.
Yeah, because you're looking
to look that up.
Yeah, because you're looking at, I mean, was Tony Bennett last year, you know, Nova, North Carolina, Duke, Krzyzewski had been to a few. Then you had the UConn team, then Louisville with Patino, then Calipari, Kentucky, at UConn and Calhoun, Krzyzewski again, Roy again, Bill Self, Florida.
By the way, you're about to get to Tubby. He had previously taken a team to the Sweet 16 called Georgia.
Yes.
When he won the title at Kentucky.
Yeah, so he had been.
He'd done it. At least did he do it at Tulsa also?
I think he did, That's kind of what put him on the radar.
Yeah, while he was on everybody's radar back then.
Yeah. All right, the Crossover Podcast is presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Also, Five Points in Athens. You can listen anytime you want on demand at 960theref.com, or better yet, download the 960 The Ref app and get all of our on-demand content and programming there whenever you want it. You can also listen to The Ref live anywhere you are, anytime. And stream Georgia sports programming, too, within a 75-mile radius of Athens. There is a big baseball series coming up this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that and maybe mix in some Braves, too. I don't know. Freddie Freeman ended last year with a bad elbow. He had surgery on it, and now he's missing spring training games because his elbow is still bothering him. But the team
but, hey,
says,
all's good. Nothing to see here.
Team
Move
says
on.
Don't worry, and yeah. Freddie says he's not worried about it. So we'll talk about some Braves, too. It's the Crossover Podcast, episode 125, here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Part 2, episode 125, the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also open in Five Points. And we are heading into already the third weekend of the college baseball season. Georgia is 8-1, right? 8-1 the record?
That is correct.
Overall. So, and now a big series as they switch things up. No longer playing Tech this year. Three midweek games, but just one weekend series that'll start in Athens on Friday, go to Tech on Saturday, and then wrap up on Sunday at it's Cool Ray Field.
That is correct.
What? Because what's the place the Braves play now in spring training is called Cool Something Field, isn't it?
It's in It's in Northport, Florida, and it's
called like Cool Now.
Yeah, or Cool Today or cool something. Today, something yeah. like that. Yeah.
It's got a funky name.
Doesn't have anything to do with Cool Ray. It's just a coincidence that it's the Braves Park. Cool Today Field.
Cool Today, yeah, that's it. That's where the Braves are spring training.
Except air conditioning and air quality services in Sarasota.
There you go. Well, they must have a lot of cash if they could sponsor the the Braves spring training facility.
We won't even charge them for saying what we just said.
No. Where no Freddie Freeman. He says he's going to be back next week, though, and also says that he only needs like a week anyway to get ready for the season. So he's not sweating it, but that elbow bothered him at the end of last year. Freddie homered on September 1st of last season and then did not hit another home run for the rest of the month. He did homer once in the playoff series against the Cardinals, but that's it. So there was a big power drop from Freddie last year over the last month of the season. He struck out a bunch in that last series of the year against the Mets in the regular season. And he was being bothered by a sore elbow that had bone spurs and whatnot in it. He got through the Cardinals series and then ended up having surgery on it. But now here we are already first week of spring training and it's flared up on him again.
He had three loose bodies removed from his elbow in October. That's according to the Associated Press. And, you know, he was supposed to be ready to go for spring training here. And now all of a sudden he's been scratched. He's going to sit out a week. But we're being told everything's good. Nothing to worry about. We'll see. I hope they're right. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
it doesn't sound good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I'm prepared to just take them at their word that it's going to be fine. But, yeah, it doesn't sound good that he had this trouble at the end of last season and it's still kind of bothering him now. And even if it's one of those things where maybe he can go for a little bit and the more stress he puts on it, maybe something will flare up from time to time during the season. But, like, the Braves don't need him missing that many games throughout the course of the
year. He's their second-best player.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's their second-best player.
And he played almost every game last year. I'm for him having maybe a few more days off than he had a year ago. But he doesn't need to be hitting these stretches where, like, yeah, he's going to be out of the lineup for a week.
No, that's not good. Because obviously there's a big drop off there at not just at the plate but in the field as well. He's an excellent defensive first baseman too.
Yeah,
and I think his defense was affected a little bit by the problem he was having with his elbow.
Well, in that the meltdown inning against the Cardinals, he had a big error.
Yeah, he did. But if Acuna's their best player, Freeman's their second best player. Who do you think? Who would you go? We were trying to figure this out the other morning. The top five count, and you got to put pitchers and players in there together.
Oh, so the pitchers count too?
So I would say Soroka, Albies, and then who's number five?
It might be Azuna already.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not any of the catchers. It's not Swanson. It's not Markakis. Although I do like that Markakis wants to beat the Astros up.
Beat down.
Yeah.
They need a beat down. Is it?
For about a month last year, it was Riley.
It was Riley, and then he came back down to earth. I don't know. Cole Hamels? Is it Freed?
He's going to miss the beginning of the season.
They don't really have a – it's like they got 1, 2, 3, and then kind of a 4, and then like 5 through 25 is kind of a mixed bag.
I guess I'd say Ozuna would be in the top five.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I had him fourth.
Yeah, and then Soroka.
Soroka's, so you have, yeah, those that would be your top five.
Yeah.
And then after that, I don't know.
Now, maybe King Felix, he's got a little something cooking down in the spring so far.
How'd he do today? He's pitching as we speak.
He had given up a run.
Okay.
That was it. He was out. I think he pitched a couple of innings, gave up a run. That was it.
All right. That's all right. Bill Shank says he'll be the number five starter when the Braves head north, or not, they're not really headed north, they're gonna head west.
They open
they're
in
go
Arizona
from
right?
spring training to Arizona and then to San Diego. He thinks with the situation with Hamels that we'll be looking at King Felix as the number five starter.
2 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run. He did have 4 strikeouts.
Soroka, Freed,
Luke Jackson doing Luke Jackson things two walks in an inning, but he also had two strikeouts.
Yeah, hey, a zero where it counts, that's in the run column.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But
I think Luke Jackson gets a little bit of a bad rap.
He does.
Yeah, he last year, I get it, but he was in a role that he shouldn't have been in.
Right. Other than that, he was really the Braves' best reliever.
Yeah.
But when he was put into that closer role, it just magnified when he was blowing saves.
Totally.
But he was better than his perception.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, well, the Dogs and Jackets this weekend, trying this something new here. Now, is this already like set long term, or is
this?
I
don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I will definitely know after this weekend, but I think they did this year to see how they liked it, and if they were okay with it, they'd try it again.
Right. I know the fact that they can't play in the Braves Stadium is probably
It's funny. It's like the Dogs and Tag, it's like you do something good and to try something, and then it kind of blows up a little bit because of the situation at the teepee. And they had some kind of ice show or snow show or something, and it did enough to the field where they didn't want to have any games played on it until the Braves got back. So now instead of playing over there, they're playing at Cool Ray. I guess the difference is, though, you'll have, instead of having 20 to 25,000 fans kind of spread out, you're going to have 10,000 fans right there together, right on it. So maybe the vibe of the game will be good. It's just going to feel like maybe a regional or something like that with everybody on top of each other.
Yeah.
But other than that, we'll see how it plays out. I like it. I'm for it. I want to see how it goes. But I wish we were playing over at, over at Truist.
Well, yeah, and that's the one downfall of the series when it's in the middle of the week is the two teams are trying to win, but no one's throwing their frontline pitching.
Yeah.
So
in essence, they are going to try to win this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, Hancock will pitch and Wilcox will pitch.
Yep.
And
CJ will go Sunday.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll have a good outing too.
But if those guys were – this was on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, they wouldn't – they wouldn't even sniff getting in there. Because I'm thinking, like, last year when Georgia played – that 20-inning game against Clemson, like, there was a point where, like, well, Emerson Hancock is never going to come and pitch this game.
Cole Wilcox is not
coming in.
Tony Losey's not coming in.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, they would have just, the position player would have come in, or just whoever was on the mound at the end would have just, your arm's either going to fall off or
the
game will finally end.
I did feel bad the other night. Kennesaw, speaking of games that felt like they would never end, they brought in one of their position guys to pitch, and he had some pretty good stuff, and then all of a sudden he has to leave. He got his arm. Yeah, I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay. But I guess that's what happens when you start doing that. That's why I'm in a lot of agreement with you on the fact that it's like, hey, after like 11 or 12 innings, it's okay to go home. If you don't have the pitching, you don't have it.
Or
why do you have to stay out there for eight more innings?
What about what sudden death? And if you're the home team, if you give up a run in the 10th inning, you lose.
Yeah.
You had nine innings, but it's sudden death overtime from here. The next team to score wins.
Or instead of protecting home, you got to protect third. The first team that gets to third, they win the game.
You win the game. But it's have sudden death overtime then. And I know, we don't get our last at bat. No, you've gotten that last nine times.
I know. I wish, as much as I complain about the NFL and their sudden death, I'd be hypocritical if I were with you on that take. And I get it. I mean, if you kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance to score. But if you score a touchdown, the other team doesn't get a chance.
Yeah, the NFL
drives
overtime.
Me crazy.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe after you've played six extra innings in baseball, then you just go to a sudden death.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, it's the bottom of the 15th.
Yeah.
If you don't score here, but you give up a run in the top of the 16th, you're not batting again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, when you get to the 16th inning, I'll be happy to be a hypocrite on that one.
Or how about after nine innings, do a coin toss. So you could decide, you win the toss. All right, well, we're going to bat first now.
Yeah.
And then if, sudden death from there. So the home team could bat first in extra innings if they win the toss.
What about that crazy high school overtime rule that they used to have, penetration?
Yeah.
What if you did that in baseball where all right, here's the top of the 10th. You're the visiting team. you're playing the inning normally. If you score two runs or five runs, that's one thing. But if the farthest you get is second base, then, or let's say it's a three up, three down inning, then the home team only has to get a guy to first base and they win on penetration.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
I think that would be funny.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one would know what's going on, but, you know, hey, there's other ways to shorten the game.
Especially if you have that rule that they're, it's like in that international league where you can now steal first. So if the count is nothing and nothing, and there's a wild pitch, you could take off. You could take off for first on that wild pitch. So you're like, your extra innings, like, all we have to do is get a runner on first base now. Yeah. Just take off and try and steal first.
Oh my gosh, that would be funny. I'm gonna start pushing for something like that.
I mean, baseball is kind of going crazy with all its rules changes. I don't know.
Well, during the basketball game last night, I just kept seeing that scroll. And I don't necessarily disagree with it about the MLS owner. It says, 25 years from now, soccer's passing baseball.
I know. Well, okay, yeah, 25 years from now.
Yeah, he's probably right.
Might be,
I don't necessarily disagree with that.
That's still a long way away, though.
Yeah.
I predict by 2045.
Yeah.
It'd be bolder if you were like, no, by like 2025.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on to it. I don't disagree with that. Things do change. Soccer's definitely on the rise.
Well, I mean, in Atlanta, you could argue United.
Mm-hmm.
United's more popular than the Falcons now, just based on the crowds at the stadium and when one plays versus the other.
I have to get it in my head, too, that when people start talking about the bins and the stadium, well, it only gets used, you know, eight times a year for the Falcons. Like, don't count out Atlanta United, because when they play there, that place is packed.
Yeah. It actually looks like a good atmosphere. The Falcons games are dreadful.
The Falcons games are awful.
And I don't think they're getting any better.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, with what, you know, just the status quo in place, where the GM says they haven't decided whether or not they're going to exercise Tack McKinley's fifth-year option. The coach says they're not. The coach says, oh, well, we'll just go with whatever the GM said.
Yeah.
And then the team says that the coach didn't understand the question. Okay.
Love the Falcons.
Yep. All right. Appreciate you checking us out again. As always, the Crossover Podcast, episode 125, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Also, in Five Points. Again, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can listen whenever you want on demand at 960theref.com. But the easiest and the best way to get us is to download the 960 The Ref app. And you can get all of our on-demand content there. Listen to The Ref anytime you want, anywhere you are. And also, you can stream Georgia sports programming within a 75-mile radius, like this weekend series, Dogs and Jackets on the Diamond. For Dave, I'm Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast. Again, thanks to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.